Duke and Dow joining you live in the SBI radio studio. Thank you for joining us. And also joining us over the phone this morning is John Keim. John is an ESPN NFL reporter covering specifically the Washington Redskins. John, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
We're doing great, John. We appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day and kind of answering an internet call. We just like everybody else across the country, we are hungry for sports and NFL in particular. And of course, the draft is kind of an oasis that's coming up just next week. And we wanted to pick your brain a little bit on what you've heard about the draft and holding it virtually and just being an insider that you are. What can you tell us about what's going to take place starting next Thursday?
I think it'll be interesting. I think teams are going to have a dry run. They're going to be doing their stuff on their, you know, they're obviously going to be holed up at home. You can't have multiple people in the same house. So everything's going to be, you know, they're going to have to rely on connections, whatever. I know in the Redskins case, they'll probably have multiple people all available on one line. So that one line is like being in the war room, so to speak. And then you have other people will have their phones working the trades. Just like you do if you were in the war room and you had someone fielding calls and trades and you can just communicate it right there in the room. That's the plan, I'm sure, for most teams. There will be a dry run to see if everything works well. So it'll be interesting, though, to see what happens. And I think what you've heard a lot the last few weeks is you're going to have to really rely on the tape as much as you ever have. Now, having said that, most of these players, they got to see them at the combine, at various all-star games. But there are a bunch who needed those pro days, and those are guys. And I think the other key thing with that is the lack of medical information and then meeting guys in person and getting to know them that way. But the medical stuff is huge, and I think we see that with Tua Tagovailoa. How will that impact? I think that's another huge question going into Thursday.
You know, John, as you talk about those questions medically, of course, with the Redskins specifically having that number two overall pick, Tua might be someone they're looking at. And so, how are teams trying to overcome that obstacle, not being able to get some of those answers like they would on a typical draft season?
Yeah. You know, first of all, you have to buy in relationships that you already built at whatever school those players are at. And so, you know, or even with the agent, but more so with the schools that they're coming from, to be able to get accurate information if there's stuff you needed to know more about them. And in Tua's case, you know, I know that he did see a doctor. They gave it to all the teams, but teams want to examine them on their own because there are times where some teams may flunk a guy and take him off their board, and other guys will say, no, our doctors don't see that with him. They see it differently. So I think everybody wants to, you know, you don't want to just rely on somebody else. Now they are getting the MRIs and whatever, so they can read those as they want. But I think you still want to check it out more. So you have to rely on those pre-existing relationships to help. You know, they can do the virtual visits. So you would, for example, I know the Redskins, for example, had one with a bunch of guys, but one I know for sure was Zach Moss, running back from Utah. And during those times, you know, it might be only an hour, but you're trying to get those guys on if they have a whiteboard at home and what can they draw up and what can they show you on that. It's not the best way to do it, but it's the way they have to do it. And as you hear from teams, as long as it's kind of equal for everybody, then there's not much, then you're on the same boat. And I think that's clearly what the case is here.
John, one thing that I immediately jumped to mind when Roger Goodell announced this is going to be a virtual draft was my first thought was we're going to find out right away who are the techie GMs and who are the ones who might struggle. And I noticed an interesting photo this week. The Arizona GM, he had 7-8 screens open on his board, on his desk, looking at different things. You could tell there was some backup technology. And then it shows Dave Gettleman of the Giants. He has one laptop and a stack of papers. Not saying one's better than the other. And I'm not saying one's better than the other, but certainly a lot of different aspects of technology to happen to take place this next week.
Oh, no doubt. And I know like the NFL is going to set it up so it's the same all over, you know, so it's, I think that lessens some of them. But I think the other thing is what if you start buffering on there or something, you know, and I know like it's not just going to be one person calling. I mean, they will have a person assigned to call in, But like if your thing buffers, you can still text and you can still get it in. But that's the thing that I'll be curious about too, is what if there is a situation where somebody, you know, you lose internet, what if there's a big storm that sweeps through and you lose power? You know, I think those are all things that you have to have backup plans for. And I think they all will. And again, you can still text in those situations, but if you're on the clock and it's the third round and you have a couple guys you want to just discuss for a minute and you have, you know, something like that happens, I mean, you can get on the phone with someone, but you know, what happens? I don't know. But again, I know the Redskins will have for them, they'll have a phone line dedicated where a bunch of people will be on there. So you would think that would be okay, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
We're with John Kime this morning on First Bank Sports Friday and an ESPN NFL reporter for the Washington Redskins. So, John, let's talk about the draft order and kind of what you expect. Less than a week away, so it goes Bengals, Redskins, Lions at 1-2-3. How do you see it shaking out with those first early picks?
Well, certainly the Bengals are going to take Burrow, and as long as the Redskins are number two, they'll take Chase Young. I think after that it gets interesting because there's no clear way after that. If you're the Lions, you could go Jeffrey Okuda. I don't know about Isaiah Simmons for them. I know a lot of teams are kind of split as to how they see him. A lot, you know, more and more people I've talked to see him more as a safety. And I know I talked to some people who they weren't sure, like if it was a 3-4 defense, they weren't sure how he would be used. And so, you know, and if you saw him as a linebacker, but it seems like more of a hybrid. I've talked to some people say they'll give a Derwin James comparison as far as his ability or as far as like his role. But I think that's where it gets interesting though, because I don't know that the Redskins are going to trade out of that pick. I don't, as of right now, I would say they're not. And I don't think they're going to get the kind of offer it would take to entice them. But I think at number three, I think that's where it starts to get interesting with, if you're the Dolphins at five, you don't have to give up as much to go up to number three. And if you're the Lions, you're not passing up potentially the best player in the draft as the Redskins would be with Chase Young. So I think it may make them more of a trade partner than the Redskins. And I think the Giants at four are kind of in that same position as well.
One thing you haven't heard about is, at least I haven't, do you think the Lions shock the world and take a quarterback? Matthew Stafford is obviously, he's not a spring chicken anymore, but he's still got a lot of mileage left on him. But have you heard anything along those lines?
You know, you heard that early on. It seems like they've shot that down. But, you know, when you look at the, like, if it's, for example, if it's Tua, well, Tua may not even play this year anyway. So, and I know, like, they can't get rid of Stafford now because of his cap hit. I don't know what it's like next year. So I don't know if they would really want to go that route, because here's the other problem with that. Assuming there is a season, this is the coaching staff that needs to win right now. And Stafford is still young. I mean, Stafford's still a very good quarterback, and he's only, I think, what, 31? So conceivably, he's got a lot of years left. But again, this staff has to win now. So would they really take the pick on a guy that probably won't even play for them this year, barring an injury? I have a hard time seeing that.
John, you said something there that I think has a lot of people wondering, and you said, assuming there is a season. And right. So once the draft is over, spring camps, and then, you know, you get into the summer stuff, August is a long ways away. So what is the NFL looking at right now as far as what to do over the next few months after the draft?
Well, they're going to have basically a virtual offseason. So starting on Monday, teams can start doing meet with players, you know, virtually. And I know the Redskins are going to do that for sure. It's voluntary, just like the voluntary offseason workouts. They'll have a virtual mini camp, which will be very interesting because there's not a whole lot you can do a lot of classwork. And I think that's what they really, for a new staff like the Redskins, I think that is important as well, and especially when you have a young quarterback like Dwayne Haskins. So they're going to have that through into May, and nothing has been decided beyond them, but that's when OTA start, and it's really hard to see them coming back for that. But who knows? This thing is so fluid that I don't know what they're going to do there. I would be surprised. Most of the people I've talked to would be surprised if there's anything, but nobody really knows. And then I think you're looking at during the season, I mean, obviously, with whatever else is red, would they go to a situation where you're playing games in a stadium with no fans? Because at least that way, then you can televise it. And that's a big deal for the NFL. I mean, that's where they're going to make more money off TV rights than filling up a stadium. So I think that is a definite, I think that's a possibility. I don't know how strong would they push the season off. Would they start it late? I know the NFL schedule comes out in a couple of weeks, and apparently they're going to have it so that way if there is a shortened season, like a lot of the games that teams will miss probably won't be divisional games. So my guess is you'll see non-divisional games weighted, you know, more people having those early in the year. And that way, you know, then it becomes an equal, let's say if they wait 8 weeks to start the season, then the final eight games, each team will probably play six division games. So that way it's a little bit more even. So I think there's, but man, you guys know this, as we all know this, like, who the heck knows?
Yeah, that seems to be the biggest question. John, I'm going to sneak in one really selfish question. I hope that's okay. I'm a lifelong Redskins fan, and obviously where we are out here, I'm a big Wyoming Cowboys fan. Have you heard any buzz about Logan Wilson, the linebacker out of Wyoming, as far as where he might end up?
I have not. I mean, I've heard his name and seen good things about him. But I don't know, like, I haven't heard where he's going to go. I haven't heard the buzz on him because I haven't focused on, my focus has been for the Redskins on what would they do at number two. You want to try and rule things out. So I wanted to rule out two. And, you know, I don't think you can, like, the Tua thing I put as 1% for them. But, you know, then it's like, well, the trade, likelihood of a trade. I'm following the Trent Williams situation for them. Can they get more picks? Then it's like, well, that, you know, they want to get more help around Dwayne Haskins, so you're focusing on third and fourth round. Who are guys there that you can do? But I have read things on Wilson. I've heard, you know, that's where I've heard more about him, and he definitely is one of the, he definitely is an intriguing guy. I just haven't heard it with them, but that doesn't mean he's not connected to them. It's just that with the focus elsewhere so much, sometimes you don't get into the nitty gritty with some of those guys with these teams because you're focusing on so many big picture topics.
Again, John Keim, ESPN NFL reporter for the Washington Redskins. John, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for your insight.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
John Keim, all part of First Bank Sports Friday on the SBI Radio Network.